This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:47, Friday the 13th of January, and you're listening to The Morning Run. In about 15 minutes, we've got the KLCI opening, as well as international markets with Tim Mahalan, president of TJM Limited in Chicago. But in the meantime, let's talk about Malaysia's electoral system. Because since 1959, Malaysia has seen 14 single coalition simple majority governments until the very fateful GE15 that resulted in a hung parliament for the first time in our history. Neither of the two coalitions, Pakatan Harapan or Perikatan Nasional, managed to win the minimum of 112 seats to form the federal administration of Putrajaya.
And with no time limit, all parties then entered into negotiation mode with each other. And after what seemed like a very long 5 days from the time we voted, the political uncertainty ended with the country's five major parties, PH, BN, GPS, GRS and Warisan, agreed to a coalition government.
Since then, discussions on avoiding another recurrence of hung parliament have been prompted to ensure stability. But is a hung parliament negative for democracy? And should there be a relook at our electoral system?
For some answers, we speak to Dr. Wong Chin Huat, political scientist at Sun Wei University. Good morning, Chin Huat. Always good to speak to you. Now, in Malaysia, the election process is first past the post. And at the 15th general election, there was no certain outcome for 5 days. But in your opinion, are there positive aspects about a hung parliament?
Thanks for having me. Good morning, everyone. And certainly, I think it is a good thing. Now, in multi-party competitions, parties have to have two considerations. The first is product differentiation, meaning that they have to be different enough for voters to be willing to come out to vote for them. The second consideration is compatibility with other parties in government formations after elections. In the past, when we have single party or single coalition, simple majority government, there's no need for the second consideration. We just hit at our opponents to the maximum and then to drive support for ourselves. We don't have to worry about this. So that has led to no compromises, to intense enmity between parties and their supporters. Hung Parliament, the best thing is that it forced the party to consider. The reason why PAS, PN could not get in to form the government, one main reason is because PAS is seen as programmatically unacceptable for East Malaysian parties and so on. And so if PM wants to be government, they need to moderate themselves in the future. So these are good reasons why we need to have this.
So in your earlier association, you said product differentiation important to differentiate, but then the need for compatibility. Sometimes those things don't gel together, isn't it? To create that product differentiation, you need to mudsling, you need to differentiate yourself from the other competitor. And that sometimes involves a lot of negative campaigning, which then makes it hard to then do the compatibility. How do we then shift away and reconcile both elements then?
This is where an outcome of hung parliament would force the party to learn the right balancing. Because what it means is, instead of harping on their product differentiations based on principle and values and so on, which any compromises would lead you to be seen as hypocritical, as betraying your own values, what you want to talk about is policy. For example, let's say you have a right-wing party who say, we should have a low tax rate of 5% for tax X. And then you have a left-wing party who say, no, we need to raise it to 10%. How do they form a coalition government? So they probably negotiate and say, let's have 7.5%. I can go back to my base to say, if not me, it would have been 10. The other guy say, if not me, it would have been 5. But if you come in and say, now we cannot compromise on equality, or we cannot compromise on market freedoms and so on, that would be impossible for you to form a coalition government. That's why we have seen coalition governments work very well in countries like Germany, New Zealand, many continental countries.
But Chin Huat, I have a question. Okay, so a hung parliament is great on some level, but do you think it then creates a politics of accommodation rather than politics of national development? Because everybody needs to compromise. And then sometimes as a result, these hard decisions that a country needs to make never get done.
Yes, but you think of it this way. If we want to push bulldoze some policy differences that we think necessary, but you would have society, big part of society objecting to it. Question is, how long would such changes be sustainable? Think about what Mahathir introduced in the last year of his first administration, teaching mathematics and science in English. He pushed that through, thinking that, you know, that's what the country needs. And the policy was reversed within about 6 or 7 years, because there was it was pushed through rather than getting consensus. But if we're going to have a hung parliament, a situation where people need to negotiate, you would not have fast changes. But whatever changes that can be achieved are likely to be sustainable.
And Chin Huat, back in December, the coalitions of political parties in the unity government signed a cooperation agreement. So moving forward, will that be the basis of a more stable and long-lasting government? Or are there other methods that we can explore?
Definitely, that's a good thing that we need to do, that it sends a signal that governments in our parliamentary system is based on parties rather than individuals, MPs, signing their statutory declarations. But we need more than that. Most of all, we need a professional opposition that can compete with government on policies instead of just attacking it on ethnicities and religion. The governments need to recognize the opposition's shadow cabinet, pay 28 shadow ministers a fraction, let's say one-third of ministers' salary, for them to compete with and scrutinize the 28 ministers. Shadow ministers should even be sworn in at the National Palace. Why does this help the government help to stabilize politics? First, shadow minister can't just criticize minister without presenting their own alternative policy. So that's the product differentiation that we want. Second, erases public expectations on opposition because they are now paid by taxpayer. Third, the public can compare the government and the opposition more objectively. You don't just ask, how stupid can this minister be? You will also ask that, is the shadow minister smarter? So if we can push all this, then the government and the opposition know that they have to play the role. Government may still collapse, but it would be because of real programmatic incompatibility rather than because that I want to bring down the government so that I have access to patronage and so on.
So in addition to formalizing the opposition system and structure there, do you see other shifts or tweaks we need to do in the overall parliamentary electoral system, perhaps at the Dewan Negara level or even how we conduct ourselves at parliament then?
Yes, I think other than parliamentary reform and equal constituency allocations to all the MPs, what we really need to consider here is tweaking our electoral system. Ours is first-past-the-post, where we can only vote for candidates nominated by parties mostly, but we should consider introducing close least proportional representation, CLPR. So every state can be a CLPR constituency with several up to dozens of MP depending on their size. And every voters would have two votes. You can vote for individual in the first-past-the-post constituency, but you can also vote for the parties. And every parties would nominate the same numbers of candidates for the seats. And then the seats would be allocated proportionally across the party. Now, it sounds complicated. It's actually very simple. You go to polling booth for parliament, you have two votes. And this actually has been applied in many countries. And what's the benefit? First, CLPR would allow non-communal parties to emerge to gain representations in our parliament. We have problems like global warming. We have increasing inequality. But why is there not a green party, a red party in our parliament? Because first past the post penalize parties that based on issues, broad-based issue, and their supporters are scattered nationwide. Second, it allows candidates' quotas to be implemented so that we can actually ensure certain number of women, you or minority, in in the party list, resulting in a more diverse parliament. And third, in general, parties would have to develop their product differentiation in policy. This goes back to the potential benefit we talk about of having a hung parliament. When parties can develop their differences, they would have less dependence on patronage, on buying votes so that the voters support them. Many Malaysians are frustrated with what happened in Sabah. What happened in Sabah is really that the parliament is not functioning. Parties are basically groupings of MP trying to trade in their mandate for patronage from government and then use the patronage to feed back to the voters. In other words, MPs are just ATM machines in human form. And we can move away from all this by changing how our parliament works and changing how our electoral system works.
All right. Thank you very much for your time. That was Dr. Wong Chin Huat, political scientist at Sun Wei University, giving us his views on Hung Parliament, saying it's not a bad thing. It's actually good for democracy. But certainly, we do need to look at just generally the parliamentary system in Malaysia. There are tweaks, definitely, that we should push forward. There are reforms that are necessary that we hopefully, because we have this unity government, that we have this two-third majority, can happen.
I like the idea of this whole proportional representation, a dual vote in elections, because it does help, you know, us, I think, parties with single party issues to push forward and gain prominence, like what you see in Australia and such, right, for the Green Party.
Yeah, I like what he said about the government also needs to recognise a shadow cabinet for the opposition. I think that's really a good move. And they should even be sworn in at the National Palace and be paid a fraction of the salaries of MPs and ministers as well. And there will be some accountability given that they're being paid from taxpayers' money. So they can't just create a ruckus in Parliament and not be accountable as well.
Yeah, so it's, you know, we want to choose our politicians based on policy, not on personality, right? What are they going to do for us, the rakyat? What are they going to do for us, Malaysians? What are they going to do for the economy, I think? And we want to do this in an objective manner where we can compare. And that's really when we get to a more mature democracy. And I think we should be heading that way. But up next, we've got the KLCI opening as well as international markets with Tim Mahalan, president of TJM Limited. That's happening after the 9 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.